You're listening to No Dice, No Problem, a new monthly Asians Represent variety show hosted by Drew Kwan and me, Daniel Kwan, on the One Shot Podcast Network. Check out uncut video and other exclusive content at patreon.com/AZNSrepresent.
The gloves are off. We're here now.
We've been trying to find a place to record.
Yeah.
We need an outlet. And at one point we were like, there's a stage there and there's an outlet near it. What if we just pulled up two chairs, sat on the stage, and just started recording?
No, you'll be funny if we actually just stood the entire time.
Just walked around like a TED talk.
Yeah.
Oh.
That would have been funny.
That actually be really funny.
But no, we're in a little corner right now. So if you all hear anything in the background, that's a whole hotel of people.
Yeah. But dude, I have some regrets from the con that I didn't talk about on the podcast.
Okay.
Because they weren't podcast safe.
Okay.
Or main series safe.
Sure, sure. This is No Dice, No Problem.
Yeah, we didn't get to do our bathtub episode.
We did not.
We also didn't get to do our bathroom episode.
We also did not get to
toilet
do that.
Stall episode.
Yeah, it turns out you get a lot busier, and by you I mean everyone. Just life gets a lot busier at a convention.
Dude.
I have a question.
Yes.
So we're three deep in the window when it comes to the convention. We've been here for many days.
I thought you were going to say we're three deep into the window of recording, and I was like, this is our second one. Did I just completely zone out of another recording with you?
You'll find out. We've been here many days. We've eaten many different types of food. Travels, what it is. How've the poops been?
Oh, honestly, really bad.
Mine have been great.
Really
I've had
bad.
Great poops.
Really bad. Emma is sitting right next to me. Pull up closer, Emma. Say hi to everyone.
Hello.
Emma has had to deal with us all weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I am over gaming, where like when I'm gaming with all of them, I do just go, all right, it's poop time, and I stand up and I go.
I mean, not like not right like, into the not standing, but no, you get up and you just walk away from a conversation. You're like,
yeah,
I'm gone.
Listen, when it's time, it's time.
Yeah.
God calls us at mysterious moments. Who am I to deny?
Although your pants have almost fallen down a few times.
Yeah, so it turns out that some of my shorts, I've lost a little bit of weight.
Good for you.
They tell me. It doesn't feel like it, except that some of my shirts now are contingent on my shirt being tucked in to create enough like friction or width to hold my pants up. So then when we're in the hotel room.
No belts, no problem.
No pounds, no belts. yeah, there have been a couple times where my pants just almost throttled to the ground. Just...
Yeah, but you asked me about the poops. The poops have been okay. I have eaten a lot of dairy this weekend.
And that's good.
Correct me if I'm wrong, both of you. It hasn't been that bad.
No, it seems fine.
Yeah, I think I've just ripped like two big ones. That's it.
You've definitely farted in your sleep on me.
Okay.
You also like...
Lots of farting in sleep.
Okay,
you also
well...
thrash. You thrash really hard.
So the audience is now going to have this picture of me as, like, I'm just thrashing around and farting
at the
same time.
A writhing amount of limbs and farts.
Yeah.
Okay, so I say this as, like, I have... apparently my body is, like, holding it until I'm unconscious. And, like, my waking mind is, like, just hold it all in. And then when I sleep, I'm just, like... rage and gas. Oh my god.
It's the good stuff, you know?
You know, that's how we do it on No Dice,
that's how
No
we
Problem.
Do it. Dude, I wish I had the skill and the time to create one of those like temperature blankets but for poop.
What?
You know what I'm talking about? It's like they crochet like a quilt, like a blanket, and each line is indicative of certain types of your like how your poop went that day. And then the texture of the thread indicates like
oh yeah yeah
you know, what it was
I
like.
Did,
yeah.
Somebody made one yeah yeah I, saw
I would
it
pay
online.
Someone
and it was really long right
yeah 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 it's 365 days so it's 365 lines yeah I would pay someone good money to meet with me every day to do that.
They'd have to meet with you or could you just put it on a spreadsheet online?
Yeah, but I want to stay accurate to the source.
Oh, okay. I respect that. I respect that. But, okay, I gotta ask, Drew.
Yeah, what's up?
Big Bad Con.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
It's good. I like that there's plenty of people, but there's not too many people.
Yeah.
And I like that it is like a business, it's not like a business conference, but it is mostly populated by people who are in the industry, which are people that a lot of them I know.
Yes.
And that's very nice to see a lot of people that I've never met in real life before.
There are lots of NDNP fans here, too.
Yeah. I am wild that there are any to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, especially this kind of content.
But, hey, listen, you right there, if you're willing to listen to me talk about poop, I love you.
Yeah.
No you can dice. Do no wrong.
No dice, no problem, right?
Yeah.
And I'm also like just like super happy for you because
thank you.
I mean I know not about the poops.
Oh,
I mean
shit.
I'm happy that your bodily functions are performing as they should.
They rarely do, so this week has been a blessing.
Big Bad Con is a special place for Drew then.
Yeah.
But for me, I think like I am super happy that you've purchased your first OSR product.
I did. Hold on. I purchased a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I got to grab my backpack.
Because we got lunch. Shout out to Jackie for coordinating lunch today.
Death by Mage. Follow them on Twitter.
Yeah. I just love Jackie. I love Jackie so much.
We're only saying that because they're not here.
Yes. Yeah. In person, we're just like, fuck you, Jackie. No. But
Jackie's the alpha.
Jackie alpha Asian'd us all weekend.
Jackie pays for shit.
But the thing is, like, Jackie is, like, so sneaky about it. And Jackie is incredible. But anyways.
Real ninja of him.
Yes. But enough talking about Jackie.
Yeah,
you
OSR.
Bought a whole bunch of physical OSR products.
Yeah. So
what'd you get?
I bought two sort of, like, OSR supplements. They're not systems themselves. But it is Into the Weird and Wild by Charles Ferguson Avery. And then another book by...
Same author,
though it says Charlie Ferguson Avery. But then also Alex Cogan, C-O-G-G-O-N. It's called Into the Cess and Pool, C-E-S-S, like Cess Pit.
Cess and Citadel.
Oh, Cess, what did I say?
Into the Cess and Pool.
Into the Cess and Pool. Sorry, no, Into the Cess and Citadel. And so they're both like books that have gorgeous artwork, great covers, but they are primarily about running like wilderness adventures and like city adventures, whether that be a small town all the way up to like a mega city that spans the continent. And it's just chock full of all sorts of tables and alternate rules and options and creatures and just all sorts of stuff. And I will probably be using Into the Cess and Citadel the most right now because my players in my D&D 5th edition game are in a like mega city. So that will probably be the one I'm most used at the moment, but I'm hoping to use Into the Weird and Wild for the second campaign that we'll start after that one.
Well, we've got our home game has to restart, and we were talking about Pathfinder.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of... We need to talk to Emma and Kendra about this too. But now I feel like I want to use Into the Cess and Citadel.
It is kind of fun.
It is really cool. And like, Emma, you bought a whole bunch of games too. They're not OSR though. What'd you get?
I got Epitaph by Mark Hobbs. And then Old Moore's Cave, a continuous use campsite in Mammoth Cave National Park. Which is very much like an archaeology thing, so I'm interested. Then Candlelight by Gabrielle Robinson. And the extension for Beak, Feather, and Bone.
Yeah, you fucking love Beak, Feather, and Bone.
I do.
Dude, the game is lit.
I also got Dialect, which I'm excited about.
Oh, and then here's the problem with buying RPG books. I was about to make a bad analogy that went. I was about to say RPG, but I was going to make a Chessex thing.
oh, my God. Hold on. Before you go, continue.
I got a present for you.
What the fuck? Hold on. Before you even fucking start, whatever that is, downstairs in the like vending hall, there are billions, I say, of Chessex dice. I hate you.
This is the sound of a bag of Chessex dice.
This is the sound of a Chessex bag of dice throwing across the room. Could you hear that?
Emma, can you go pick that up, please? Drew's littering. Here's another bag of dice.
What the fuck? Why is there more bags of dice? Is that also Chessex?
I'm pretty sure they're Chessex. But yeah, we got dice for you.
What am I, poor?
But anyways, you got a whole bunch of OSR stuff, and for me, honestly, like, we haven't decided what our next home game is going to be. I mean, we talked about doing Pathfinder, we talked about doing it, setting it in the Kingdom of Geb, which we have talked about a lot this weekend.
Yeah, we have talked about, I think Geb, so for those not familiar, in Galarian, the Pathfinder, like, official setting, there's the Nation of Geb, and I think it's some genuinely good world building.
It's very good.
Where it is a nation primarily of the undead, and you know, usually the undead are an antagonistic force in the world because you know they're undead. So you know, it raises an interesting question: how do you have a whole nation of undead that get along with everyone around them, except for what, Nex?
Yeah, so
yeah, yeah.
There is a social hierarchy amongst the undead as well, though.
Yeah, so they have a really interesting society, but the reason that they get along so well with everyone else is because they're the breadbasket. They have very little agricultural needs, but they have a vast amount of agricultural land. And so they have a labor force that is not sentient. It does not require food. You know, it does not tire.
Yeah.
And so they can constantly produce food for all the nations around them. And so that's how they get away with being undead, basically, in a setting that undead are not well-liked in.
Yeah, so we were talking about doing a Pathfinder 2nd Edition adventure, but now I'm kind of looking at, like, all this cool OSR shit that we got, and I'm like, oh, I kind of want to use the Nidhesan Citadel.
Do you think Pathfinder 2nd Edition strays too far to be useful? Does that make sense?
You mean as a system?
Yeah, because I know there's plenty of OSR that can be tagged on to more current, like D&D.
As somebody who doesn't track HP.
Yeah.
100%. We could still do Pathfinder 2nd Edition. The other system that I would pitch for us would be 5 Torches Deep, which I think is the next best OSR system for Emma and Kendra, because it is very familiar to 5e.
Okay.
It's almost like 5e stripped down.
Okay.
In a way that still has the OSR procedural toolkit.
Sure.
Vibe. That's the only other one that I would recommend switching over to. We could talk about it.
I'm familiar with 5 Torches Deep.
I've talked to you about it a lot because there was an entire supplement that's just about duel.
I listen so much to your rambles.
You, not by choice, I guess, sometimes.
No, it does sound vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you showed me the PDF, I'd remember some of it.
I've definitely shown it to you.
Okay, that's awkward.
The dueling rules in it are really interesting because you have to think about distance and feinting. It's actually, as somebody, because I've wanted to talk to you about HEMA.
Oh, I love HEMA.
For an episode of NDMP.
Historical European Martial Arts.
Because I used to do it. I know you used to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it would be interesting to talk about HEMA from the perspective of, like, TTRPGs and stuff.
Sure.
On, like, what would actually work.
Sure.
Not so secretly, I think it would be really cool for us to go to a HEMA tournament and just make content about that.
Oh, I would love to go to a HEMA tournament.
Or just do, like, React videos where we watch those, like, the 10 HEMA practitioners from Japan versus 10 from America, and then they fight. Like,
yeah. Oh,
God, those are so good. But, yeah, I want to use the materials that we bought because I think they're interesting and they're exciting.
I also have to justify what I just spent on them.
That's also the true. The Asian in us is just like,
yeah.
Make sure you get value out of it.
$35 book, gotta read it for 35 hours.
Yeah, but then I also got a really good deal on some Knights Black Agents books.
Knights Black Agents.
Yeah, the Vampire Conspiracy RPG.
Oh, is that the dossier one?
Dracula dossier. For $10. And then there's a solo ops one that's a two-player version of Knights Black Agents. And I got both of them for $20. That's an insane deal.
Deal.
So, like, I want to run those. And, I mean, I don't know why it has to be either or. Like, just run both.
Yeah, it's not like we have many years in our future that we can just do all of these things.
You know what, Drew? I'm done playing games with you.
That makes sense. Fuck you.
Yeah, this is over. This is the end of NDMP.
Idiot.
But, man, I'm just... This has been a great con.
Yeah, it's been good.
We need to play more Flesh and Blood.
Yeah, we played one game.
At least one more game. I want to try out the other deck that I brought.
Yeah, I actually, if we can grab Jackie, I would really, Jackie seems interested.
I want to teach Jackie too.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll have to do that. And
I don't feel good enough about my grasp of the rules to teach Jackie.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go over it again. We'll go over it again. Yeah, I mean, you pick up games very fast.
Yeah. Thank you.
But also, like, the heroes in the game are, they work very differently from one another.
Sure.
So the way in which you interact with said rules is a tiny bit different.
Yeah.
But I get a lot of joy out of seeing, or I guess hearing folks say, ah, I recognize his voice, referring to you.
Yeah. It turns out that my voice is pretty recognizable. And like, on my social medias, my face is not usually visible. Like, I often use like artwork of myself instead. So most people just have my voice to listen to.
Yeah.
Unless you subscribe to our Patreon, in which case you'll get video of all of these NDNP episodes.
Except for this one.
Except for this one, because we don't have a camera. So I'm sorry. We'll refund you all of the money that you've ever spent on us because of this one episode.
Totally.
#oops.
But they will get an extended version because I'm going to cut some stuff from this one.
Yeah, I'll personally show up to your house and bow till my head is on the ground. And I may need assistance standing back up, but that's okay. That's what friends are for.
That is what friends are for. You should listen to the latest episode of Asians Represent as well, because we did talk about friendship on your segment.
Or the lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. Because our big bad con turned into a big bad fight.
I don't know about that part, but
no,
yeah.
Just kidding. You have to listen to the episode to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, this has been such a... It's been a nice weekend for me.
Yeah, it's been good.
I at the PLZ meet and greet, I got matched with Ed Greenwood.
Yeah.
As my mentor.
Elminster himself?
Elminster himself. And it was a wild conversation.
Sure.
In all the best ways.
Sure.
We were talking about, like, historical miniature games.
Yeah.
We were talking about, like, and he was like, oh, yes, at Gen Con 2. And I was like, what?
I want to play some of those historical mini games
bad. Like, he's just a really cool guy. And I was asking him, I was like, what? So what are you looking for as like a mentor? Are you looking for do you have opportunities? Or are you like hiring? Because I'm going to be straight up, right? And he was like, you know what? I've been out of the business, you know, taking care of family and stuff for like past couple of years. I want to see what's happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, for me, that was him signaling that we're just going to have a real conversation.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I don't want to talk about work anymore. I just want to pick your brain about, like, the things that I know you're interested in.
Sure.
And we were talking about one of these Gen Cons where there was an old, old Gen Con where this one designer was on a panel talking about World War II. And, like, how this one battle turned out in World War II.
Okay.
And Ed said that in the audience, somebody got up and walked up to one of the microphones and said, no, that's wrong. And the panelist was like, no, that's right. I have two PhDs. And then Ed looked at me and he said, what do you think the guy on the microphone said? And I said, I don't fucking know. It sounds like really adversarial.
And three PhDs.
And then he told me, he said, the guy on the microphone said, no, you're wrong. I was driving that tank.
That's fun.
We turned because of this. And I was like, God, that would have been wild to hear or see in, like, real life. And then we just went on this whole conversation.
What if that guy just lied?
What?
What if he just lied?
What if that guy... I mean, at that time, I feel like it would have been really believable.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't want to think that was a lie.
It probably wasn't.
But we talked about world building.
Yeah.
And, you know, he asked me, you know, about Land of Blades. I told him about our home game.
Oh, yeah. My Adrian, my why
you're my, Abraham my, blonde Abraham Lincoln vampire
in fantasy China.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Colonialism.
He's here. he's got some opium to sell.
But I was telling him about like the home game and stuff, and you know, asking him for advice on world building and
sure.
stuff. And he gave me some really good advice that, you know, was very different from how I've been approaching world building. You know, I was like, you know, I like to keep things like really functional and focused and minimalistic,
sure.
like kind of like, you know, Into the Cessant Citadel. Like everything here is in this book is useful.
Sure.
There's no, like no fluff or anything like that. And then I asked him, I was like, how do you manage like scale and scope? Obviously, because his world, the Forgotten Realms, is massive.
Yeah.
Like, how do you make sure it doesn't balloon or anything like that? And he was like, everything has to be about a story. He's like, two separate things he said were, one, if you are writing background specifically.
Sure.
If you're writing background, the act of doing that is procrastinating because you aren't thinking about how the world actually feels lived in. You're just writing for the sake of writing.
Correct. It's sort of like in our workshop that we did
yeah.
a couple of days ago, which was
you
archaeology and world
and
building.
And you too, Emma.
Yeah, it was
also,
a team
Emma
effort.
Became the first guest of NDMP.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
But, yes.
Do we regret that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
Emma,
sorry,
your
what'd
response.
You say, Emma?
I said, obviously.
No, you know, that's something that we were talking about where it's just like, if it's not furthering the narrative, if it's not furthering the design, it's not bad necessarily, but it becomes unnecessary.
And useless. Yeah.
And if that unnecessary detail takes but an ounce away from the main core of what you're trying to do, it should be gotten rid of if it's not serving the rest. That background stuff, if need be, can be fleshed out by someone else.
Exactly.
You know, GMs the world over constantly fuck around with settings and make their own stuff and riff off of this and that. You do not need to do that for them. You need to give them the functional things, or you need to give your players the functional things.
Absolutely. And so he said, the second thing he said was, when the world is not in peril, and wow, I sounded really, he said, when the world is not in peril, what is life like? And I said, well, I started talking about, you know, the act of making swords and mining.
Sure.
And he said, that's what you should keep doing. Keep asking yourself that question. In this location, on this road, by this river, by this lake, when the world
the
is not in peril.
To the wall. To the... Yeah, you know.
When the world is not in peril, what happens? What is life like?
It is an interesting question. Right now, in my setting, we are constantly in peril. Like that. My world is on the brink of disaster, but obviously I want my players to avert that and change it, right?
Yeah.
And should that happen, should they save the world, what does it look like afterwards? As much of it is shattered or changed irreparably, I'm almost more excited not for the resolution of my campaign, but for the beginning of the next one, because I am so curious to explore what has changed in the aftermath, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's it was just overall like a very impactful conversation for me.
Yeah.
It was very cool to just kind of like get to spend. They were like, oh, try to do 10 minutes at a time. And I was like, I think Senfung Lim was like, dude, you were with Ed for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, oh, 10 minutes at a time. And I was like, we were just in this great conversation.
You know, we here in Asians Rep, we're all rebels.
It's how we do it. It's how we do it. We got to meet some like day one Asians Represent people too.
Yeah, yeah.
OGs. OGs. Andreas.
That was cool. Man, Andreas is...
I love Andreas.
So cool. I bought one of... Listen, hey, if you're listening to this... not you, Andreas. You don't listen to this. But the rest of you, if you listen to this, go to Metal Weave Games. Buy a very specific owlbear plushie. That shit's lit.
Yeah, I
That's
think...
That's all I got to say.
You, Emma, and I all got owlbear plushes.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't even
You
an
also
ad.
Got one too, right?
Did you get one, Leon? Yeah. Yeah.
Our very good friend and also member of Asians Represent, Liana, is also here. Liana,
the
say hello.
Girl. Yes, the anime girl also got an owlbear.
We all got owlbears. Yeah. We'll make them duel to the death. We like Clay-O-Rama.
Clay-O-Rama. Yeah. So I want. I want to talk about like yesterday, because A, we got to meet Andreas, who has like honestly been a longtime patron, supporter of Asians Represent, taught me how to play League of Legends.
Yeah. Did
but,
he really?
Yeah, Andreas taught me how to play League
that.
Of Legends.
Damn.
We won't hold that against you, Andreas.
Andreas taught me how to play League of Legends, and it's why I was playing Morgana at the beginning. Andreas was like really helpful in helping me kind of understand the game. And then later on, other folks in the community like Joe, Kara, taught me how to play. But yeah, I feel like Andreas is also a great example of like a really good ally in the space.
Yeah, not to give his like semi-balding head too big, but Andreas... might be, in my own anecdote, might be one of the best examples of a true ally as a like white cishet man out there. Yeah. It's just kind of wild how good he is at it.
Yeah.
Mostly because he doesn't say much. He just listens.
But that's what many of us ask for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he provides opportunities, but he doesn't make those opportunities about himself.
Yeah. It's similar. He's like the Rick Riordan of TTRPGs. Where Rick Riordan, do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah, Rick Riordan is also really good about this kind of stuff.
But you should explain for the audience. Sorry.
Rick Riordan is the author of Percy Jackson and the Olympians and many other series after that. And he is like one of my literary heroes all time. I grew up, like many people, grew up with Harry Potter, a trash series by a trash author.
Yep.
I grew up with Percy Jackson and Rick Riordan, a great series by a great author who has withstood the test of time. I win. But...
why has he withstood the test of time?
Because he, similar to Andreas, puts his money where his mouth is. And instead of speaking for other people or trying to take credit for things... like, he has a Rick Riordan Presents series, and Rick Riordan Presents is where he brings on someone else of a marginalized identity, whether that be along racial, like ethnic lines, sexuality lines, gender lines, you name it, and tries to give them a voice by allowing them to publish a book through him. And now it has Rick Riordan Presents on it, but the Rick Riordan Presents is pretty small and not anywhere near as big as their name, the actual author's name. He doesn't even do any of the writing for them. He doesn't do anything. He lets them write whatever they want, basically. The team edits it like normal and approves it, and then it goes to shelves. So he slaps his name on it, gives them credibility, gives them a platform, and lets them do their thing. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
Also, he provided me one of my first, like, early life representations of a mixed Asian guy, Frank, who is in the, not Percy Jackson, but the next one, the Roman one, the Roman one. But he is half Chinese, I believe, and Frank is a son of Minerva? We talked about this like yesterday, and I completely forgot. But also has ties back to like, you know, the realm of heaven in China, in Chinese folklore and myth. And so he is grappling with his two sides of feeling like he has a literal foot in the Western world and another foot in the Eastern world, and how those two things pull apart at him. But ultimately, he reconciles the fact that he is both. And the ways in which they pull apart at him are also complemented by ways that push him together, you know, that bond because of the similarities. And it's just really cool. Shout out to Rick Riordan.
Yeah.
Sponsor us. I'll read
Rick
your book.
Rick Riordan presents Asians Represent.
Rick Riordan's work sucks unless he pays me $50. I just completely turn on him.
Just like Chessex Dice.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick Riordan's a cool dude, though.
Did we grab those Chessex Dice? Did I get those back that Drew threw?
Yeah.
Grab those? Okay. I know we shit on them, but like, I got free dice. I would keep them.
Chessex are admirable people with a good and admirable product. You just don't need more of them.
Can you imagine if there was a Chessex agent at Big Bad Con on the hunt?
I will literally tell them that to their face.
On the hunt for Drew and Daniel.
Ready to assassinate? Take us out.
No, he's ready with the paperwork. Just like, sponsor.
It's just with a gag order. We can't talk anymore about it.
Yeah, because we've defamed Chessex.
Yeah, a little cease and desist. Yeah.
The other thing that on the same day that we met Andreas, we decided to be very loud and rambunctious near his booth at Play Clayorama.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Clayorama. We were so loud.
Clayorama. It was a good time. For those who don't know, Clayorama is a much older game. It came out in the Dragon magazine way back in like the 80s. And it's basically a battle royale where you each take a little carton of like Play-Doh and you make a creature out of it, and then you assign them abilities and all stats and whatever, and then you have a nice battle royale afterwards full of Play-Doh fun and antics, and it's just such a well-made, clean game. I mean, it's not very clean. It's Play-Doh everywhere, but yeah. But it's really a joy to play. Very tactile, which is fun.
It was so much fun. A lot of the people who signed up didn't show up. That's okay.
Folks
were sick or had other things. That's okay, because we really set this up so we could play Clayorama.
Yeah. I want to play Clayorama. That's about it.
And it was you, myself, Emma, and Agatha playing. And we had two participants. And shit just got so wacky.
Like, yeah.
Your Claydonian, the creature that we all make, you were a cylinder.
So my clay, if anyone imagining like a little carton, like a little like cylinder of Play-Doh, and you eventually get the Play-Doh out, and it's in that sort of like cylinder shape. I left it as is. You get 20 minutes to create your character. I did it in 2 seconds.
Yeah, you just put out. You carved a face. I carved a face and a butthole. And I carved a butthole onto the other.
Yeah, I did make the butthole deeper and wider though.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I ended up making this like Jabba the Hutt type thing that looked terrifying. And then Emma, what was yours?
I don't know. He was like a little rhino man with a really mad face.
He was nice. He had little arms.
Like
that was
a little
fun.
Bipedal rhino with like really short and stubby arms.
Yeah.
And Agatha made a slug with these two antennae. And what's really cool about the game is that you can set aside some of your clay for missiles, ranged attacks. But when you make your ranged attacks, you actually have to physically throw them.
Yep.
And Agatha set aside half of her Play-Doh and made two absolute units of missiles.
Yep. And keep in mind, your health in this game is at 50. And then you kind of figure out how much of the clay or the Play-Doh is actually part of the monster, and you cut down from there. So if you have about, you know, 10% of your Play-Doh missing as missiles, then you don't really have 50 HP. You have 45. However, we determined that Agatha had half of her goddamn body as missiles. And so she started off with 25 HP.
25 HP.
But the most chunkiest of missiles.
And then Agatha missed throwing both missiles.
Agatha
hit one.
But one was a missile of death or whatever it was called. And that missed. And that was really,
Agatha
really sad.
Had like a special ability on her Claydonian. And it was like one shot kill. Or it was, if you hit, you get to like smack the Claydonian.
Yeah, you get just like open hand, slap the shit out of it.
Yeah, God, I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
Yeah, while, like, that was a good time.
That was excellent.
I highly recommend people play it at home. If you have young ones in the house, it's a great way to introduce them to some concepts about like those kind of little games. It's cheap, it's easy because it's Play-Doh. You probably already have some around your house if you have young ones, or if you're, I don't know. I think my house still has Play-Doh, and I'm 27. But
I think we've agreed that we're going to take Clayorama.
I think we should start the Claydonian League.
Claydonian League?
And we do this at every convention to the point where we start having registrations and stats.
Dude, can you imagine if we had a leaderboard? We track wins.
In fact, I can imagine that, Daniel. You know,
like,
I can.
Like MMA, you would have like
a fight record. We have cards.
We have cards. Traded cards? Oh my God, for our Claydonians?
And yes.
You make the same Claydonian every single time, and people face off against the Cylinder.
The Cylinder. Yeah, my idea too is that we get a trophy, but the trophy is just made out of all of the Play-Doh corpses of the losers for that week, and then we literally just like put that shit in an oven to dry the fuck out.
See, the problem is that like getting it to the con would be difficult.
No. We make it at the convention.
Oh, yes. But then I want people to take it away from the con. I had a thought.
They can take away the fact that they lost. They can take away their shame.
What if we got a dollar store trophy, but you kind of melted the little person on it to make it look like clay?
Oh, it's just fucked
with
up.
With fire? Yeah. You just fuck it up?
Yeah, we just take a propane torch.
Shit, it's melted down and it just looks all fucked up. And then that's the trophy. Right? And we do a league. We could literally... We could have a pinned thing on the Discord server, and it's just like anybody who's ever, how many kills this person's got, how many
That's
wins this person's
funny.
Got, like the current reigning champion. And at the end of the year,
what's
we send
them What's your KD ratio, bro?
What's your KD ratio? Mine, I got fucking screwed over. I think I killed
like...
I killed Emma.
I killed one half of you.
Yeah.
I killed one half of Daniel, and then your butt sought revenge.
Yeah, so I had an ability where I could copy the ability of another Claydonia if I hit them with an attack, and I immediately start the game by throwing a ranged attack at Drew. I hit him, and I'm like, I copy your ability, but it was a secret. And Drew's ability was, you divide in half, and I immediately weakened my Claydonian from the beginning.
Yeah. Meanwhile, by the end of it, my big cylinder boy was four pieces by the end of it, having split over and over again to get myself more attacks. That was a good time.
I think the one thing that is really funny about Clayorama is that Clayorama was created, at least by David Zeb Cook.
Zebster.
The Zebster, as we affectionately say on No Dice, No Problem. I almost said Asians Represent, but that's not the case.
That is not the case.
That is certainly
we
not
have
the
never
case.
Said a nice thing about the Zebster
but the
on
Zebster,
Asians Rep.
David Cook made Karatur Eastern Realms, and Clayorama is his game.
Yeah.
Which is a whole...
Which means that we're now race traders.
Which
that's
is now
fine.
Another level of irony. Now, if we were to make a league, we would have to change the name of the league. But I think it would be...
The Zebster Dome.
I think it would be really... I really like how... And again, if we had infinite money, I think it'd be really funny if we had... Claydonian Fighting League challenge coins.
Ooh.
For anybody who's ever participated in a battle royale.
That's good.
Or like if you've gotten a kill, you get a challenge coin. And we make it look like a fighting promotion.
That's good.
And it's just like, you know, the UFC, it could be like a fist, except it's like a tentacle or something.
Yeah. You know what? And I will say about David Cook,
yeah.
You know, there might be then the question of like, well, how can we play Clayorama if this guy who wrote certain products that are very racist or have glaring issues in them, how do we then feel justified in playing his funny clay game?
That's a good point.
I would say, well, you know, what would you say first?
You were on a roll. Sorry, I meant good question. That was a very good question.
Yeah.
Good thought.
Just my idea is that, like, based on our reading and also our understanding of him, and, like, I've never met the guy. I don't know. But it... Yeah. I think a lot of the failings of Karatur and Oriental Adventures are not... They are racist in nature, but they are not malicious in nature.
Yes.
They are not meaning to cast down or punch down on Asian people. They're not meaning to do these things. But by the nature of their own ignorance and all that, they did. So to that end, I think for those types of people, I can separate some of the art from the artist, where... Zeb, in this case, has made some bad products, though not maliciously, so not intentionally harmful, you know. And so I feel fine about playing one of his other games, you know, because they're different things. And if it was the case where Zeb was purposefully being racist or purposely maligning Asian identities and Asian experiences, then yeah, I'd be livid and I would not touch any of his stuff ever.
Yeah, if like Karatour opened up with Konnichiwa Gaijin.
Konnichiwa Gaijin.
Then maybe we wouldn't be playing Cleorama.
Yeah, probably not.
But I loved that we played that game. Like, Emma's
that
nodding.
Was good.
I had so much fun. I was telling Drew earlier, Emma, because Emma just joined us after we recorded the first segment about Asians Rep. But one of the things that we should be doing for Breakout Con is we should actually start testing how we want to promote Asians Rep at bigger cons like Big Bad Con 2024, bringing in like Cleorama, thinking about promotional materials, QR codes that people could scan for Asians Represent. I think doing the Cleorama Fighting League or the Clay Fighting League.
Yeah.
We gotta think of a name. I'm not good at
Clasians.
Clasians Represent. we just turned into like a Cleorama fan podcast.
Clasians Represent.
Clasians Represent, and we critique people's Cleorama creations to be like,
yeah.
They were very inefficient with their limb selection here. The missiles are too large.
Yeah, you gotta be real careful. Or why is that missile so small? Do you think they're all that small? Hello now. Come on now.
I just had fun with Cleorama, and I think it's a great way to engage with the community. Honestly,
so fun.
If the game ran faster, or if we had fewer participants, or if we had multiple tables, we could, in theory, do a bracket, a Cleorama bracket.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What was it? I think it would be four per table.
Yeah.
Four per table with a referee.
Yeah.
And then we would do a bracket. And then I think you would have to have four tables then. And then you go to the final four people.
Yeah.
And they'd fight to the death. Or we could do two tables.
Yeah, not their Claydonians. They do.
Yes, the people
fight
to the death.
The finals
watch.
Is an all-out brawl.
The Claydonians watch. I love the idea of us doing stuff like that because it's just kooky.
Yeah, move over Magic the Gathering. This is the new shit. Clasians represent.
Clasians represent. But I had a lot of fun doing that, and I hope we do more of it.
Yeah, same.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about for this episode of No Dice, No Problem, Drew? Anything?
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm kind of full of Korean fried chicken. I feel pretty good about myself.
Yeah, we did eat a lot of food for lunch. Again, shout out to Jackie. This episode has mostly been about Cleorama, Jackie, and Andreas.
Yeah, you're correct. Kind of, yeah.
What are we going to call this episode? Is it going to be like Daniel and Drew love Jackie, Andreas, and Cleorama? Or Daniel and Drew love David Cook?
That one might be a little too controversial.
Daniel, Drew, and the Zebster?
That one, We could just call it Daniel and Drew start Clasians Represent.
Daniel and Drew leave Asians Represent to start Clasians
Represent. No, that was getting too long.
We'll figure it out. We've got time, but I was also thinking of it should just be called Daniel and Drew Go to Big Bad Con.
Yeah.
Now, wanted to ask you one last question. Is there anything that you wanted to do at Big Bad Con that you didn't get a chance to?
Why are you holding that near me?
I don't know. I
thought you were like trying to give me a candy.
No. So for the listener, I'm holding a chalk nut, a peanut milk chocolate candy that I found in my backpack. And I meant to eat it, and I'm just fidgeting with it right now. Was there anything that you wanted to do at the con that you didn't get a chance to? I mean, we talked about spending more time together, so it can't be that. We already talked about that.
Yeah. I don't want to try your nasty chips, that's for sure.
No, ketchup chips. Do you have them on you, Emma?
Oh, shit.
Are they in the... you could go get them. They're checked? Do you think you could go get them, Emma? I can keep the conversation going for like 15 minutes if we want. No? Okay.
Okay, so I am saved. Okay. It's fine. No, it's fine.
No
listen,
worries.
Hey, listen. It's fine. Listen, I am saved from the torture that is ketchup chips and all dress chips. But guess what? You too can also save if you head over to diceenvy.com/AZNSrepresent. AZNSrepresent. You can also put in the code AZNSrepresent for 10% off your next purchase. Give me my goddamn money.
God, way to go, Drew. Way to go. I was like, what are you pulling up on your phone?
Listen, Dice Envy is a great company, good team. They make good products. They're not ChessX. You should go buy from them. Because listen, you do, listen, hey. Listen up. I know you're listening at home. You're in your car. Maybe you're on the couch. Maybe you're in bed. And you're going, you know what? I do deserve more dice. You should go buy that dice.
Okay, so for the listeners, somebody has just... Somebody
oh my
has
God,
just,
it's the just, person themselves.
Somebody has just come to join us for this episode of No Dice, No Problem. They have not been giving any notice, any sort of questions. It is Jackie.
Jackie, tell them about Dice Envy and how much they can save through our code.
You can save a lot on their code. Please use their code.
That's all you need.
A lot. That is what Jackie said.
That is
said.
The true alpha behavior from Jackie.
Jackie could have been the first real guest of No Dice, No Problem.
Yeah. How do you feel about the convention so far, Jackie?
Yeah.
I felt it was great. It was great to finally see wonderful friends that I've only known through the internet for years, and it feels wonderful.
I just thought of
that's
a title
an alpha
for that.
Statement.
I was just about to say, I think of a good title for this, or Daniel and Drew are beta Asians.
Yeah, we have to be, because there can only be one alpha,
and
that's
Jackie.
Jackie,
that is in Asians Represent lore now, because we talked about how you out alpha Asian'd us the entire weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Jackie just kept paying for meal after meal after meal.
You're one step ahead of us.
Jackie paid off my student loans.
Every single step, Jackie was one more ahead of us.
Yeah. Listen. By having Jackie as a friend, you can save a lot of money. But you can also save a lot of money by going to DiceEnvy.com.
Okay, no more DiceEnvy plugs. But seriously, Jackie, now that you're here, I am super happy that, you know, our magic group, our commander group, has been able to kind of meet and not even play a goddamn game together.
What a shame.
We haven't played a game yet.
I got my stuff in my bag right now.
Let's go. Recording's ending. We're going to play Magic. Are you free, Jackie, to play Magic? Okay, recording's over. We're going to go play Magic. If you want to hear uncut audio or video of No Dice, No Problem, you want to see exclusive show notes and all sorts of good shit, you can head to patreon.com/AZNSrepresent. And then, Drew, if you want to do your... You prepped that ad read.
Listen, you deserve that dice. You just don't need Chessex dice. The dice you need are from Dice Envy. It's in the name. You envy them. Take them. And let us help you take them by using code AZNSrepresent to get 10% off. That extra money goes to me. Write to me. It doesn't. It goes to us. It helps us pay for conventions. It helps us pay for all sorts of good stuff. So you're not just saving money for yourself. You're saving money for myself. What are you laughing about? I'm so good at my job.
The history of role-playing games is weird and wild, and we here at System Mastery are determined to look through it all.
Every heartbreaker that drove a man to bankruptcy to see his vision of D&D with really specific armor maintenance rules come to fruition.
Every game where you get increasingly certain as you read it that this is all just one person's weird fetish.
Every system that painstakingly recreates how medieval life was really like, and then also you can cast Fireball.
The System Mastery podcast wallows in the filth of RPG history. Come!
Join us in the muck
at System Mastery.